You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
It says here in Romans 1, if you'll go there with me, Romans 1, notice in the third verse, it says, concerning his son Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Everybody say according to the flesh. This is one of the scriptures that jumped at me. In fact, I sat down and wrote a whole page of notes after he preached that message before I even walked out of the church. I thought, man, that is so good. And I just started thinking of scriptures and thoughts, and I wind up preaching it Tuesday at that church and also in Owasso Wednesday. But he says, he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, fourth verse, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So when you look at Jesus, he was one thing according to the flesh, but he was another thing according to the Spirit. And that happened at the resurrection. In other words, the resurrected Jesus is even more than he was when he walked the earth. He actually limited himself when he became a man on purpose that we might be saved. He had to become a man to save us. We understand that. That the Bible tells us that unless a male without spot, without blemish be slain for our sins, then our sins are not taken care of. And under the law, they did that every year, and they covered sins by slaying the lamb, and they'd examine the lamb for 3 days to make sure it had no spots and no blemishes, and then their sins were covered every year. Well, Jesus comes along. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Not a one-time, every year slain lamb, but a one-time, eternally slain lamb. Not just a lamb, natural lamb, but the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So that's why he had to become a man, obviously, because every man born into this earth is flawed or tainted or is not spotless. We all got spots. Are you with me? You're spotted. I'm sorry. I hate to bust your bubble, but it needs to be broken. All of us are spotted, and there's nobody good enough to die for our sin. Never has been, never will be, because everybody's born through the earth, born a man, born a human, male, man or female. We're all mankind. And nobody's born sinless. We're all born into sin. We're all lost. Everybody's lost. That's the message of the gospel. See, the message of the gospel is not that you could be good enough to go to heaven. No one can be good enough to go to heaven. You need a Savior. And we think about Jesus, we didn't need just a good man or a good teacher, a good guide or a good example. We didn't need that. There's lots of those. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. And so how is that possible? God coming down and dying for your sin wouldn't help you. The demand and the judgment wasn't on him, it was on mankind. When Adam sinned, then he took the whole world into sin. Now we're looking for a spotless man, but that's an impossibility because we're all born through Adam. And the Bible says in Adam all die. But it says in Christ all are made alive. I love that. So Jesus said, well, I'll become a man. So he doesn't have the sin of Adam. He's born through a woman, but not through a man. He doesn't have man's blood in him. God the Father. Blood is in him. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and that thing which is born of her was of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus comes into the earth differently than anybody ever came. He comes spotless and sinless without the taint, without the sin, without Adam's touch on him. He was born through a woman. And through the woman, he was the seed of David. But by the power of the resurrection, by the Spirit of God, he was the Son of the living God. And so now we got us a sinless man. Hallelujah, somebody. We got us a spotless lamb. And if this lamb is slain, he'll take away the sin of the whole world. And that's exactly what happened. See, the devil didn't understand that. He didn't know that. Had he known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He killed Jesus, thought he buried him, but all he did was plant him. What you plant comes back up. Glory to God. But see, he looked at him just often as we look at him and even ourselves. The devil looked at Jesus and saw him from the flesh standpoint, and many men, many women look at Jesus the same way, even in his own hometown. Remember that? Went to his own hometown. Not many of them could be healed because they said, we know who you are, the carpenter, the son of Joseph. Here, aren't your brothers here? And they named off his brothers and sisters. You know, how do you do all these things? How these things come through your hand? We know. And they didn't receive anything from him because they just saw him in the flesh. The world looks at Jesus just like Buddha or Moses or Muhammad or some other religious leader. But see, what they fail to see is what we see, a resurrected Christ, one who conquered hell, death, and the grave. We don't see him according to the flesh. Oh, we celebrate his birth at Christmas with that little babe in a manger, but we don't see him that way. We see him as risen, having conquered hell, having saved us and washed us in his blood. And there's always two ways of looking at everybody. You can look at man that way. You can look at yourself that way. You can look at God that way. But God is pulling us, compelling us to see ourselves the way he sees us, not what we are in the natural. You know, I'm Michael Williams. You could say I'm a Williams in the natural. I'm a Texan, and then I'm an American. And no, I'll take it back. I'm an American, and then I'm a Texan, and so on. I'm proud of Texas. Thank God for Texas. And if you're not from Texas, that's okay. You can move here. No, thank God if you're just alive, you can be born again. Amen. You can be saved. But you see yourself different ways. You know, I'm a Texan, and I'm an American. I'm a Williams. I speak English, you know, and if you're from another country, you speak another language. If you're from another country, you're from that country. That kind of identifies you. But, you know, all that's in the flesh. Everybody that's in the flesh. At this conference, there was a man, his name's Larry Salt, was there, and he was the grand chief of the Iroquois Nation in Canada, and a very high position. But that was on his mother's side. His father was Ojibwe, I think, and his mother was Iroquois. But it was a matriarchal society, kind of like the Navajos. They're more matriarchal than they are patriarchal. They lean toward the mother instead of the father. But I thought about him as I was preaching. I even used him as an example. I said, if you were to ask him, what is he would say, well, I'm Iroquois on my mother's side, and I'm Ojibwe on my father's side. Because he really was two things. He was two tribes, as it were. And, you know, if they were to ask Jesus who he was when he walked the earth in the temple, maybe when he was 12 years old, there's actually a song along these lines. But if they were to ask him, who are you? He would have said, well, on my mama's side, I'm Jesus. But on my daddy's side, I'm the Son of God. Are you with me? And I think too often we're very much aware who we are on our mother's side. And I'm not talking about genealogy here. I'm talking about being human. We think we are just something in the natural, and that's really all we are. But that's not really who we are, especially if we've been born again. If we've been born again, we are something totally different. Are you with me? I am not who I used to be. I am somebody else now. And that's why it says here, and I think it's very plain, he says, according to the flesh, he was the seed of David. Well, according to the flesh, I'm just old Michael Williams. I had a guy that, you know, I think I shared this recently, that I was witnessing to, that I knew and done drugs with and everything. I had a pretty wild lifestyle before I got saved. And I was witnessing to him on a construction job we were working on, and he looked me right in the eye, and he said, his name was Bubba. Bubba Bush. I'm from East Texas. Listen, I watch Duck Dynasty, and it looks like my relatives. I don't even see what's so different about those guys. I'm thinking, hey, there's my folks up there, you know. But anyway, I said, Bubba, you just need Jesus. That's all you need. I said, I've got him. He saved my life, and everything I was ever looking for, I found in him. I just thought I needed everything else. And he looked at me right now, and he says, Michael Williams, if you're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. I know you. Hello. And that's the problem. He didn't know me. He knew who I was. He knew who I used to be, but I wasn't that person anymore. I've been born again. I've been washed in the blood. Old things passed away. All things have become new. That's not who I am now. I mean, I think about some of the things I did back then. I can't even imagine doing those things now. I can't imagine being that kind of person. You know, kicked out of high school. The police called on me where I couldn't drive on a parking lot. Are you kidding? My own daddy put me in jail one time. He was deputy sheriff and policeman one time. Can you imagine your own daddy has to put you in jail? And I got off a lot of times because he was a policeman, you know. But that was just too much for him. Man. I got put in Nacogdoches County Jail one time and had to get my buddies to get me out. I didn't even want to tell anybody I was in jail. I wasn't living at home. I left home when I was 16. I wasn't quite 16, actually. I was almost 16. I left home. I just left home and lived, you know, by myself. Some of my buddies, we just moved out. And, you know, I kept going to school for a little while, and when I'd get sick, I'd write my own excuse. Well, that didn't last, obviously. They didn't like that, you know. And then I finally got kicked out of school, you know, and they said, don't come back. Don't even drive on the parking lot. We don't even want to see you again. But, you know, God saw something different. He saw what I could be. not what I was at that time. I mean, if you'd seen me back then, come on. If God had given you a picture of me, I think about, I was in a second story jail cell there in center one time, my bar head hanging out the windows, and I had this big afro, you know, and my hair, when it was wet, went down to the middle of my back. You know, it was long when it was wet. Do what? About the middle up, a little higher, about right there. I was off about 4 inches, but anyway, it's about right there. It's only because I can't reach that high now. I'm trying to get... I had a leather headband I tied around the back of my head, and my hair dry, it would kind of go like this. You know, looked like a bell, I don't know, but trying to match jeans I had on. But I can remember hollering out at one of my buddies. I saw him walking down the street, stuck my head through those bars, and I hollered at him, hey, you know, and he hollered back, and eventually I got out of that jail. But can you imagine God showing you that picture? There's your pastor. You'd probably think, well, I'm not getting saved then if that's going to be my pastor. But see, God looks at who we can be, not who we are. And everybody else is looking in the flesh. And we do the same thing when we look at people. Listen, I'll tell you what the world needs is Jesus. What the drug addict needs is Jesus. What the drug cartel guy needs is Jesus. What the prostitute needs is Jesus. Are you with me? You go right on down the list, they just need to get saved and turn their life over to God. And when that happens and you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, hey, it's a whole other world. It's another world altogether. Hallelujah. So here we see even Jesus was one thing according to flesh, he was another thing according to spirit. And even the Jesus today that we serve was far greater than just the limited flesh Jesus that walked the earth. He was still God and he was still man, but he limited himself on purpose. He became a man. He came to die. That was his whole point. He did not come to rule. He came to die. I think we often miss that point. If you're going to look at Jesus, look at him now seated at the right hand of God, forever making intercession for us. Look at him as the one who conquered hell, death, and the grave and holds the keys of hell and death now. Look at him as the one that was seen in Revelation, the first chapter, where John saw him. He fell down on his feet, and the breath left his body, and he felt like he was dead. He couldn't even stand in his presence because he glistened like the sun. His feet were like burnished brass. Woo! His eyes were like a fire. That's the Jesus we serve now. Oh, glory. He's not a wimp. No, he's not a yuppie Jesus. Are you out there? He is a conqueror. You know, we talk about his meekness. Well, he was meek, but it was meek with strength, no question. And he did heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils, and I know all that. But he submitted himself like a lamb and went to the butcher block, as it were, and they killed him on the cross. But he came out of that grave another person. He came out of there the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. He came out of there a conqueror. And you and I are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen? Something happened to us. Turn over to 2 Corinthians real quickly. I'll wrap this up real quick. Hallelujah. Man. Woo. You know, there's a song, and I've shared it before, but it was about DeGarmon Key. They were a contemporary Christian band back in the, oh, wow, back in the late 70s maybe, or mid 70s and 80s. I heard about it. Somebody told me about it. I wasn't remember. But they had this song about Jesus, and they were saying last time he came, it was called When He Comes Back. It says, last time he came, they pushed him around. I said, remember that kid in the manger scene? Next time he comes, you're going to reign as king. Last time he came, they pushed him around. Next time he comes, they best be out of town. When he comes back, and he is coming, hallelujah. But he's not coming like a little baby in a manger. No, 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 no. He's not coming. He's not coming like that. He's not coming in meekness. He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hallelujah. He's coming on a white horse with vengeance and judgment upon the earth. And we're going to be with him. Hallelujah. We're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. But he's on the other side of the tomb now. He's gone beyond just a womb birth. Now he's had a tomb birth. He's come out of the grave. And he is something else. And if you've been born again, you know what? You've come out a different way too. And what the devil wants you to do is continually see yourself in the flesh. Continually see yourself having been born of a woman. Because see, that's what the Bible says in Galatians 4. Don't turn there. It says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's us. That we would be no longer servants, but sons. See, we used to be slaves, but we're not slaves anymore. We used to be servants, we're not servants anymore. We do serve the Lord, but see, we're more than that. We're children of the living God. God's our Father, not just our God. He's not our master in that sense. He is our master, but He is our daddy. And we are His children. And He loves us. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, let me wrap it up. Galatians 5, notice what it says in the 16th verse. Wherefore, Paul speaking, wherefore henceforth do we not, we know no man after the flesh. Yes, even though we knew Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we don't know Him anymore that way. Y'all get that? Now, this is speaking to the church. It's speaking to all of us. Think about it. Sometimes our view of Jesus is still a view of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's great teaching, and we'll continue to teach that. And there's tremendous truth about faith and healing and miracles and signs and wonders and power over sin and all those things. It's there, no question. But Jesus actually has risen from the grave. He's far greater than even that. And if we just see Him that way, we still see Him in a limited fashion, a limited manner. And Paul was saying, he was talking to people that knew. He was around that time. He was there when they laid, the clothes of Stephen at His feet, when they stoned Stephen, the first Christian martyr in Acts, the 7th chapter. Paul was there when they laid the clothes there beside Him. Paul was very well acquainted with Peter and James and John. He knew them personally. And he's saying, we have known Him in the flesh, but we don't know Him that way anymore. Wow. And then he says this. 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And old things are passed away, and all things have become new. So just like Jesus rose victorious that third day, oh, hallelujah, and came out of that tomb unwrapped, unchained, and unhooked. Without the wrappings of the flesh, without the limitations of the flesh, you and I have been born again. And we've been made free. And we're no longer who we used to be. And we're not limited like we used to be limited. And we're not under sin like we used to be under it. And we don't have to give in to it like we used to have to give in to it. Hallelujah. And really, the road, as the prophecy came forth today, the tongue interpretation came forth today, the road is wide and open. Hallelujah. God has opened a road for us now that never was open before. He opened a door that was always shut. Hallelujah. And you know, thank God He shut a door that was always open. I don't have to live the way I used to live. I can live differently now because I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if I'm not supposed to look at Jesus in the flesh anymore, I'm not supposed to look at myself in the flesh anymore. I'm not supposed to know any man after the flesh is what He says, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's the point He's making. We look at people from the outside. God's looking on the inside. Now quit that stuff. I know you got to look in the mirror and get ready for church. I understand that. But you're more than what you're looking at in that mirror. Don't you think for a second that you're empty on the inside. There's someone on the inside of here, that spirit man born again, hallelujah, baptized in the Holy Ghost, hopefully, if you have been. There's something different inside of you now. You're not who you used to be. You're no longer old Bubba. You're new Bubba. Are you with me? You're renewed Bubba. Hallelujah. Bubba actually started going to church the last few weeks. I don't know if he's got saved yet, but he started going to my hometown, Don Murphy's church. You know, Don's a guy, y'all know Don. I witnessed to Don, led him to the Lord, and he's been pastoring for over 25 years now. My mother's going to that church. Chris just preached there last Sunday. Hallelujah. Got two of my nephew and my niece are starting to go to that church now. They're going with my mama. And so God is really moving. I'm so glad I witnessed to Don Murphy. You never know what one act of acting on the word will do in the future and for your destiny. Here I am. There's a man I worked with. I knew real well, wild as all get out, just like I was. And I witnessed to him for years. I kept praying for him, kept witness to him. Finally he calls me January the 1st, 1980, and I lead him to the Lord on the phone. And he becomes a pastor in my hometown. And my mama's going to that church. One of my nieces, one of my nephews. And in fact, Chris is there right now. He took all the kids. They're on vacation. They stopped by there. They're going to church this morning in Center, Texas. Hallelujah. But, he's not who he used to be, Don Murphy. I'm not who I used to be, Michael Williams. And you're not who you used to be. And you need to quit looking at yourself in the flesh and all those limitations. Amen? You're a new creature.